TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
Yes, it is. Raised by Wolves, Manny Hill and Danny Cunningham with a post All-Star break edition little quick talker here on a Monday. What were your takeaways from All-Star weekend? It was kind of
so I really didn't even watch the game much. Like, I watched the game here and there, but I had some other things going on, so I wasn't super tuned in. And the All-Star game's not a very very good showcase for guys like Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, it's just not built for them. Right. So I didn't expect a big night out of him. I knew I wasn't going to miss much. I mean, he had, what, 11 points on 5 of 7 from the floor.
He was actually better in last year's game than he was last night.
Yeah, like, it's just not the type of game that suits him, and that's okay. Like, LaMarcus Aldridge, same thing. It doesn't mean that these guys aren't really good. It's just not the game for them. So I didn't really watch much of that. The dunk contest I didn't think was great. I thought the three-point contest was awesome.
Yeah.
John Collins trying to jump over the plane was really
what
dumb.
What was he doing?
Like, that was stupid.
Well, first of all, okay, if you're going to go all Tuskegee Airmen on the bit, like, put the damn goggles
on. Do it all the way, yeah. You can't go halfway
like,
on that.
Like, he put the goggles on and then tried to put the hat on, which I think you were supposed to put the hat on first and then put on the goggles. Whatever. I don't know. But then, like, before he even got ready to go, he was just like, no, I can't do the goggles, and just took them off and just sort of threw them off to the side.
And then he couldn't get the scarf right.
Right. And then it's like, the scarf should have been the easiest thing to get.
He had a tough time.
Yeah. Then he tried to jump over a plane and just basically broke the plane into like three different pieces.
So I tweeted at – so Reed Forgrave, who covers the NBA for CBS Sports, and he's based here in Minneapolis, he was at Charlotte for All-Star weekend, and he tweeted out a picture of the plane after it was broke. Like, after the night was over, he was in the depths of the Spectrum Center in Charlotte and tweeted out a picture of that, and I tweeted back at him, I'm not saying steal it, but I'm also not saying don't. It'd be a great souvenir to have.
That would be pretty good. But yeah, no, I'm with you. The dunk contest was kind of blah, and I picked my guy Dennis Smith Jr. to win it, and he really underwhelmed me.
I picked Miles Bridges, and I think I would have been right had he been able to get that first dunk to go down.
Yeah.
He was kind of too creative too early. He tried to do a little too much too early in the contest, but I thought that he would have won had he been able to do that. And then no one ever picked Hamidou Diallo.
Yeah.
And he jumped over Shaq. Which was amazing.
The funny thing about that, and I tweeted this out too, that when he did that dunk, I thought, oh my God, that was incredible. But should he have like saved that for his final round? Now, that was before Dennis Smith Jr. just didn't do very well in the final round. But I thought,
didn't get a dunk down.
But Diallo only needed 36 points to advance to the final round. So so when he did the jump over Shaq, I thought, well, did he waste that? Like, you know, because he didn't really need to have that impressive of a dunk to move on to the championship round, but he ended up winning anyway. But that was, I mean, listen, jumping over Shaquille O'Neal, like, people, I don't think older people realize, like, how impressive athletically that actually was.
Manny, Shaq is the largest human being I've ever met.
Yeah.
And, like, I've covered the NBA. This is my fourth year covering the NBA, and Shaq is the largest person I've ever met in my life. And someone jumped over him.
Yeah.
Like, actually jumped over a guy that's 7'2".
And, like, wide. Like, yes, Shaq's not, yes. Shaq's not, it's not like Sean Bradley where you're just
or Manute Bol.
Or Manute Bol or something like that. You know, rest in peace, Manute Bol. But
or Bol Bol.
Or Bol Bol, yeah. I mean, Shaq is 7'2". And he's wide, and he's a very, very large human being.
Quite literally the largest human being I've ever met.
Yeah.
There's no other way for me to describe him other than the largest human being I have ever met.
And for Diallo to jump over him, jump clearly over him, and then hang on the rim with his elbow.
And break out the Superman thing, that was awesome.
Yes, that was impressive.
I almost do wish that Diallo would not have shown the camera the Superman thing before the dunk.
Yeah, he should have done
it. I wish he would have just done it after he did it. I think that would have been cooler. But I mean, it was obviously still the dunk of the night. But the dunk contest wasn't great.
No, it wasn't that good. No.
We were spoiled a couple years ago with the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine one. I am already looking forward to next year's dunk contest, though. I want Aaron Gordon, I want Zach LaVine, I want Hamidou Diallo, and I want Zion Williamson.
Yes.
I need Zion in that dunk contest.
Do you think Zion, I saw Myron tweet this out last night afterwards, that if Zion was in the contest this year, he would have won.
I mean, I don't know about would have. I would have needed to see his creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's a big part. I mean, that's an X factor. You can't say one way or another that you know for sure, but he could have absolutely competed in it. Like, there's no doubt in my mind he could have won. I'm not firmly going to say, oh, yeah, Zion wipes the floor with those guys, but he could have won.
I will be extremely disappointed if he does not do it next year.
Me too.
And
me too.
I mean, I just... That is the one thing I will say, and I kind of went back and forth with a couple people on Twitter about it last night, that it does help the dunk contest to have a little bit of star power. I don't think it needs to have, you know, people want to bag on LeBron for never being in it. I don't think it needed to have LeBron in it, but I think some prominent players, people that you just, well, like last year with Donovan Mitchell being mm-hmm. in it. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was one of the young up-and-coming
players. But he wasn't a star at the time.
He wasn't a star at the time, but people recognized him and knew who he was.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think that would help. I think that would help.
Like, I do wish LeBron would have done it at some point.
Sure.
But also, I understand him not doing it. It's an opportunity for him to get hurt.
Yeah.
It can't help his brand. Like, his brand is already through the roof. There's no way for him to improve. His brand's not improving by winning the dunk contest. It can only hurt his brand. So I understand him not wanting to do it. It's more of a risk than it's worth for him.
Yeah. It just always cracks me up when people, like, try and, like, rip him. Like, whenever there's the MJ LeBron comparisons and
people
and throw in
the well,
which
LeBron
I hate
never
that conversation
did,
to begin with.
LeBron but, never did the dunk contest. I'm like, that's what you're going.
Yeah, that's
you
what
are
you're
that you are that
for?
Insecure about this yeah. argument that you are penalizing a guy for not doing an exhibition contest.
Yeah, it's just it's so dumb. I already hate the MJ LeBron comparison conversations anyway.
But I don't. LeBron's better.
You know what? You're not going to get any argument from me on that.
Because I'm right.
Yeah, you're not going to get any argument from
it's
me on it.
Greatest of all time.
I just.
Although Jordan's got the greatest shoe. I'll give Jordan that. Jordan's got the better shoe in the Jordan 11, but LeBron's a better basketball player.
How do you think a 22-year-old Michael Jordan would have done in the dunk contest today?
I mean, I think he would have been better today than he was when he did it, just because I think he would have been forced to be more creative. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone that says, oh, these people don't know what a dunk contest is if you're below a certain age, like, get the hell out of here with that. That's a trash take. What those guys, like, what Dominique did and what MJ did was great for its time, but those dunks get blown away now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Michael Jordan just takes off from the free throw line today, that's like a 40. Well, Zach LaVine went through the legs from the free throw line.
Well, it's,
like,
that's it's been how, done so many times yes. since, too. I mean, like, Brent Berry won a dunk contest in 1996 by leaping from the free throw line and dunking. Like, it's been
like,
done
it,
it's D, been done
D
so
Brown
many times
covered
since.
His eyes and dunked? Like, please, that's nothing.
Was it Cedric Ceballos that was blindfolded, I think?
Yeah,
when
like,
he did the,
like,
even though, well, air quotes, blindfolded.
Yeah. Like, Gerald Green blew out a candle. That would have been the best dunk in MJ's career. Like, blowing out a candle on the rim would have been the best dunk of that era for dunk contests. Right?
Yeah.
I jumping over a car, which I think is the most overrated dunk contest
yes,
dunk of
is.
This era,
yeah.
still would have blown away anything that they did.
Yeah.
Granted, Blake Griffin only jumped over the hood, and, like, in my athletic prime, I think I could have jumped over the hood of a car, too. So that's not that impressive to me because—
And it helped that Blake is 6'10", 6'11", too.
Yeah. But, like, you jumped over the hood of a Kia.
Right.
Like, it's not as if you jumped over the top of a Jeep. Yeah. That would have been impressive.
F-150.
Yes, if you would have done that, then you have my attention. You have my attention if you can jump over a truck. Even the hood of an F-150.
Yeah.
But it was a Kia. And, like, I drive a Kia.
Yeah.
It's a nice car. It's not impressive to jump over the hood of it, though. I'm sorry. It's just not. But and then getting back to, like, Aaron Gordon's dunk where he grabbed the ball from the mascot and sat mm-hmm. in the air and put the ball under his legs.
Yeah.
That would have been – that is 100 times better than any of the dunks from the Michael or the Neek era of dunk contest. 100 times better.
Yeah.
There's no comparison in that. If you're one of those people that's like, oh, the dunk contest was so much better my day. No, it was not.
Well, and how much of that, too, is people just because it's Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. So
much
guys,
of that, yes.
Yeah, that's, it's the star power aspect of it is what sort of puts off this idea of, oh my God, look at what they did. What they did was so great. And for that, to your point, for that time, it was great. But if it was just a middle-of-the-road NBA player at that time doing those dunks, people today wouldn't be saying that, I don't
yes.
think.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm just trying to think of an average basketball player from that time doing those dunks. Like, that's what it would be. Because all these, for the most part, these guys are not... I mean, Dennis Smith could be something.
Mm-hmm.
Diallo's a role player in OKC. I mean, he's still developing, but...
John Collins is a role player.
I think John Collins will be pretty good. He's just on a bad team that not a lot of people care about right now.
Yeah. He should have used the goggles. I'm really mad at him for not...
He
for taking
shouldn't
the
have broke
off.
The plane. I'm sorry. If you break your prop, you get points off. If the prop breaks, you get points off.
I agree.
And then Miles Bridges is trapped in a... on a team that no one cares about. No one cares about Charlotte. They're as average as it gets. Now, granted, he has thrown down some absolutely ferocious in-game dunks this year, but no one cares about the Hornets. That's just the way it is.
Isn't that... Let's transition to that just for a brief moment here on the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it kind of sad that one of the greatest players of all time, if not the greatest... owns a team and nobody really talks about them or cares about them?
No, because I don't think Michael's been a good executive. Like, we can talk about his basketball acumen and how good he was as a player, but he's, like, his days in Washington as an executive were awful.
Yeah.
Like, he has not been, for as good of a basketball player as he was, he's not been near that as an executive. And it does take time to learn. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not discrediting that. It is a much tougher thing, and I think that part of the reason why we see all these guys that are so, so successful on the court not be as successful in basketball things off the court. Like, they're very successful. Like, Michael's a great businessman, and, like, LeBron's the same. These guys are worth billions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
but they expect everyone to be better than they are because these guys always had another level that the average basketball player didn't.
Yeah.
So it's tough for them to grasp that, okay, this guy is pretty average and that's all he's going to be. Where they think, oh, if you just work harder, you'll be better. Where it's not that. Like, because these guys were just so naturally talented and gifted that,
mm-hmm.
yes, they worked harder than everyone else too, but they had that extra something that not everyone has, that most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people in the NBA don't have. And that's a big deal too as to why they were so successful and more successful than everyone else. And that's another reason as to why maybe they don't pick the best players.
It goes back to, and I cite this story a lot, but I remember when Kenny Smith was talking about how when he was playing in Sacramento and Bill Russell was the coach and they were bad, they were awful. And Kenny said that Bill Russell would just tell them in practice, you know, like they would ask, like, how do we get better with rebounding? And Bill Russell would just tell them, well, you just go get the ball.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, Bill, you could just go get the ball because you're one of the greatest big men of all time. Like, you were one of the elite rebounders that the league has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just say go get the ball for guys who just aren't as talented as you are. You have to, like, actually coach them and
develop
them.
They need to do all the little technique things that you didn't need to do because you were just better than everybody. And
right.
That's part of the issue as to why we don't see those guys become very successful coaches. I think it's more of an issue with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when LeBron retires, I think he would make a terrible coach.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think he'd be a good coach. And that's not an indictment on his basketball IQ because I think he's one of the smartest guys to ever play basketball in terms mm-hmm. of just knowing what's going to happen when it's going to happen. But I think that part of his problem would be he would expect everyone to be like that. And no one else is like that in today's game. And that's why I don't think he'd be very good at it.
It's like Magic Johnson's run as Lakers coach
yes,
back
exactly,
in the 93-94
exactly.
season. It was
stuff
brutal.
Just like that. It just doesn't work out.
Okay, so back to the three-point contest now. That was fun.
G.I. Joe, baby. Lumber Joe Harris.
Joe Harris, man, outdueling Steph Curry.
Cavs legend, Joe Harris.
I mean, first off, Seth Curry was my pick to
Me
win.
Me too.
I thought it was actually going to come down to Seth and his brother.
I picked Steph too. Or I picked Seth too.
Yeah, but he didn't do quite as well as I anticipated. But Steph, of course, was I mean, after his first round, I thought there's like there's
when he hit 10 in a row to end the round, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's like, yeah.
And then in his final round, he hit the first 9. I'm like, this dude's on fire. And then he, once he missed that one, he couldn't find it again till the end.
Yeah. Yeah. But tip your hat to Joe Harris, man. He was.
I like Joe Harris a lot.
He's a good player, man. He's turned himself into a really good player.
Yeah, especially for a second round draft pick. I mean, he didn't work in Cleveland because they were a team in a different stage and he needed developmental time and they mm-hmm. didn't have it for him. And then I think Orlando cut him and Brooklyn picked him up off the scrap heap and they've turned him into a legitimate NBA starter.
And I, you know, I look at Joe Harris and to sort of tie this into the Wolves, that is kind of one of the things that the Wolves need to find. They need to find a guy like that in the second round. Like, it only helps you. Right? Like, if you can find a guy like that in the second round that people don't really think a whole lot of, and then even if it's not right away, but it's 2 or 3 years into his run, you sort of look back and say, whew, how did they find that guy?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's Draymond Green, isn't it?
Yeah.
Draymond Green turned himself into a multiple-time All-Star, probably a future Hall of Famer, and he was a second-round draft pick. Granted, he was a pretty early second-round draft pick, if my memory served me correctly. Like, it's not like he was picked 60 like Isaiah Thomas, but he was a second-round draft pick, and those guys are not thought of that highly.
Yeah, and when you look at the Nets and where they're at, and they have really done a nice job now that Billy King isn't running the show anymore. When you look at that lopsided trade where they gave up all those first-round picks for aging Garnett and aging Paul Pierce— they have recovered
better than fairly, any, yes.
Yeah, fairly nicely. And you look at where they're at now with not really having a lot of high draft picks, and now they're in a position to make the playoffs, and they've got some players that you look at and you say, like that guy.
And now they've got the cap space to go get that big fish and finish it off. They'll be, next year, the Nets could be very scary. They could be really good next year.
Who do you think, who could you see going there?
Kyrie, Jimmy Butler. I think that's because I think if the Knicks end up with KD and Kyrie, I think Jimmy Butler ends in Brooklyn.
What does that mean for D'Lo though?
D'Lo can stay if it's Jimmy Butler. If it's Kyrie, they're gonna have D'Lo's gonna walk. But I think Kyrie would be so much fun on that Nets team because obviously he is an upgrade over D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
And if you're the team, you have to be as good as you can be. But if you keep the rest of that team around and build around Kyrie and Caris LeVert and have all those guys, I do too. I really like Caris LeVert a lot.
Glad to see him back.
Yeah, me too.
It's good to see him back after that injury because you and I were both there.
That was my first game.
Yeah. And that was scary. I thought he had broken his leg or broken his ankle or something and that he was going to be out for like a year. And
just like Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought. Because, I mean, that was a hell of a first week for me. That was my first Wolves game I was at. 3 days later, or 3 days prior, they traded Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just a whirlwind of events.
Welcome to Minnesota, Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
just
was
like just like Collar's first day here was when Teddy blew out his knee.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of when Rami first got here, because Rami got here after you did.
I think Rami was right around when they fired Tibbs.
That's right.
Rami's first day might have been the day after they fired Tibbs, or it was close.
All of our new people, when they come in, something major seems to happen in this town. It's crazy. All right, we can get into this a little bit more with Dane tomorrow, but. And we've kind of gone through it a little bit already, but I don't want to say second half, but post
All-Star
break.
No, we're almost
break,
60 games
yeah. in. Yeah. Wolves have 25 games left in the regular season.
Yeah, it's not the first half. But like there was someone that asked a question to one of the players, actually to Josh Okogie. And it's like, now that the first half of your season's almost over, I'm like,
no, we're
the first half's been done for
thing.
A long time, yeah. buddy.
Like in fact, the first half
56
was
56 games.
In fact, the first half was when Tibbs got fired, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're right at, or like a game before the halfway point.
Yep.
40 games into the season. But for these last 25 games, what are we expecting from the Wolves? What would be ideal for them? Because I want them to get into the top three of the lottery, but I also don't want to see them just completely lose just – I don't want to see them go 5-20.
You don't want to suffer through the losing. You just want to reap the – you want them to finish 14th and win the lottery.
Right, exactly.
You want them to be the first team on the outside looking in the playoffs.
I want them to finish a game out of the playoff spot and then
– and win the lottery. And
win the lottery.
That's what you
whatever.
Want.
Yeah, no. I will say I just – and I told this to Rami too when we did Raised by Wolves at the golf show is – I just want to see them play well, but winning, you know, wins and losses just aren't really that important to me. I just want to see them play well. If they go 9-16, I'm not going to be heartbroken about that. I'm not going to be worked up about that.
I want to see Ryan Saunders be able to implement his own plan because he hasn't had a chance to do that. And the All-Star break's really an opportunity for him to put something like that together. So that's the one thing I want to see. And then I also want to see them be healthy. Like, I want to see Robert Covington play basketball again. It's been a long time.
And it's fun to watch him play.
He's good. I would like to see them be healthy, and I'd like to see what Ryan Saunders has as a plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it would be nice to see sort of the, you know, it'll be good to get Tyus Jones back into the lineup. And
I think he'll be back sooner than later.
Yeah. It sounds like Covington is pretty close, too, to coming back.
He's getting close. I don't know how close. I don't think he'll play this weekend.
Think it'll be maybe like a week later, week after that?
Yeah, I think Tyus plays this weekend, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Oh, well, we'll see how it goes the rest of the season. There are 25 games left, and we'll have lots more Wolves discussion coming up here in the next couple of episodes. Dane's going to join us tomorrow. We'll get into his More on Monday piece. He wrote a nice piece on zone coverage, too, that I read this morning that we can probably get into a little bit as well on just that very point of how Ryan Saunders can sort of implement more of what he's doing and Andrew Wiggins and all of that stuff, too. So find this podcast on scorenorth.com, the all-new Score North. And follow Danny at Real D Cunningham. Follow me at MannyHill84. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves. And we'll talk to you on the next edition when Dane Moore joins us.